Tegan, thank you so much for joining us on the Scholarship GPS podcast. So great to have you here. Have been looking forward to our conversation for a while. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Thank you for having me. Hi, my name is Tegan, and I am a senior at Sycamore High School in Illinois.
Awesome. Good. And you are joined by
My dad and my mom on the side.
Okay, great. Great. Well, thank you all so much for taking the time out to do this. I have some students and families who are a little shy to come on the show, so it's always appreciated when somebody will
Of
do that
course,
for me.
yeah.
So thank you. Cool. Well, you had some great scholarship success, and we'll kind of get to that in a minute, but I really wanted to start, kind of back up a little bit. When or what caused you to decide that you really wanted to chase after scholarships, and what was kind of your motivation for maybe even the whole college admissions process wrapped into the scholarship process?
Yeah, so I mean, as we all know, college is crazy expensive, and we weren't really able to save up when I was younger, so it was always kind of like a fact that I would have to do scholarships. And I think once it became really real at the beginning of senior year, when I realized, scholarships started right away, I kind of thought scholarship season was only really April, May. So with my parents realizing that scholarships started then and just how many there would be, it was really important for me to apply to as many as possible to get as much money as I could before actually starting college. So yeah.
That's fantastic. And yeah, you're right. You're not the only person or family who thinks that scholarships start much later than they do. Anybody who's listened to me for a while knows that I always say there are scholarships even for elementary and middle school age kids. So, it's not like senior year. There's thousands for seniors, but even juniors, there's a lot. So, it's never too early to start applying. So that's great that you did catch it kind of in time, and you got into the process early enough that it worked and it made a difference for you. So before we started this, I was just pulling up your intake form, which is the form I used to kind of initially get to know students. And it just really struck me again, like how involved you have been in extracurriculars and volunteering. What was kind of the impetus for that? Is that just kind of naturally who you are? You like to get involved, or was there some strategy as you were thinking about college from, an earlier age?
So my parents have always encouraged me to be involved in things, and I think a lot of that was because I wanted to try a bunch of different things just to see, what I liked, what I would want to pursue, because going into the college process as well, it really helps to know what you want to do. If you are undecided, like that's totally fine. Schools have great programs for that, but knowing myself, I wanted to make sure that I was going into it with a purpose, or at least some sort of idea of what I wanted to do. So I think the extracurriculars and being involved kind of came with that. And I would say I've always loved helping people. When I was younger, I loved, when you're little, I loved like holding the door for people and stuff like that. So it kind of just evolved from there. And then I became more involved in a lot of like the service activities more just because I got more out of those. So that's kind of how I found all those things. So yeah.
And you related this to knowing what your major was going to be, and what your career goals are. At what point did you figure that out?
So I always knew that I wanted to work with kids, and I always knew as well that I wanted to help some way in kind of the healthcare field, something like that. And so, but I knew I didn't want to be a teacher or a doctor because I don't do well with blood or anything like that. So I work at my district's after school program with the elementary schoolers. And so this past summer, I actually worked with the kindergartners for the whole summer. And two of our kids actually had autism. So it was really interesting to communicate with them. And it kind of made me realize this sounds kind of silly, but I always love when I'm with like little kids, asking them to say different words and trying to get them to say words. So that kind of like initially sparked it, but after I worked with the kids, then I really was like, okay, speech pathology is what I want to do. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, that's very cool. So just as an aside, you already know this, but probably the listeners don't. That's what my wife does. And so, I wouldn't say I had any extra insight, into scholarships for that. In fact, I will say for students going into being speech pathologists, most of the speech pathology specific scholarships are not until you get into college. So that was actually, a detriment or made things maybe a little harder. But by the same token, you knowing what you wanted to do, it presented a clear path, not just for scholarships, but also the schools you were applying to, right?
Yes, for sure. I mean, there was one school that I pretty much would have gone to if they had had a speech path program, but they didn't have anything like that. So, yeah, at the end of the day, that did kind of rule it out. So, yes. That's how I found where I'll be going. St. Louis University is because they have the accelerated program for speech path. And because I did find out there's not many schools that actually have an accelerated program.
It is unusual.
Yeah, a lot of them have direct entry, so you don't have to apply for grad school, but that's still 6 years rather than 5. So,
And so just again having this clarity around your plans, it's also, and we'll get to the scholarship piece in a second, but because of this accelerated program, you're going to get out into quote the real world a year sooner than somebody who, has to go through the 4 years of undergrad and then two of master's, right?
Yeah, yes, correct. So,
That's very cool. I love that you talked about how you kind of discovered this through some of the volunteer work you were doing. And I guess I don't really have a question around that other than just to point out, like, for students, get outside of your bedroom, get off your phone, and go
yeah.
out and do stuff in the real world, right? Like that's where you learn what you like and what you're good at.
For sure. And I have to say, I've actually, thanks to my parents, I've never had social media. So that 100% made things a lot easier. I mean, I'm not afraid to go out and try new things. And to anyone listening, I would recommend always try something new, like anytime an opportunity is offered. Because honestly, 99% of the time, I've never regretted anything that I tried that was new. So yeah, it's really important to step out of your comfort zone.
Yeah, that's awesome. Just kind of one more thing about the volunteering and extracurricular piece. Again, I'm literally looking at your intake form, and it's a list a mile long of different things. Many, I'm going to say most, really don't have anything to do with speech pathology or even, working with kids necessarily. How do these things that maybe don't tie directly into what you end up going into, are they still worth doing? Not just from an enjoyment perspective, but like, are you learning things from it? And, just kind of speaking to that whole piece of, get out of the bedroom, get out of your house and do things.
Yeah, I think, I mean, honestly, every extracurricular that I've done has taught me something. I mean, I'm in a business, and I will note that most of them I don't actually have a leadership role in, and that's where the what they call like servant leadership comes in, which is what I wrote my SLU essay on. But getting back to the point, it's all about what like the small things you do and kind of how those add up. And to me, that's more important than an official leadership role or when you have a specific title. Because you'll lead best in whatever you're passionate about, So I think it's really important to try, like I said earlier, try anything you can, even if it doesn't relate to what you want to do, because you'll get experience out of it that you can apply to the things that you do like, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely. I won't mention it. You can if you want, but like you played a sport for all 4 years and probably doesn't really have much to do with your future career, but I'm sure you not only enjoyed it, but you learned some lessons. You probably had some leadership roles, whether they were official or like you said, more servant leadership. So yeah, again, just getting out and doing things is really important.
For sure, yes.
Well, let's talk about your scholarship success. What now, we're recording this mid-May, so there may be a few more scholarships kind of hanging out there that you haven't heard back from, but for what results do you know, what have been the results?
I have to say, so I've won one scholarship. I've applied for many more, but the scholarship that I did win was the presidential scholarship at St. Louis University, and that actually covers full tuition for all my undergraduate years there.
That is awesome. That when you emailed me that, I was so thrilled to hear that and so proud of you because I know the work that you've put in for
Yes. Well, I'm
that.
so
And
grateful for genuinely everything you've done, Dave. Like, your help
oh,
has
thank
been
you.
so amazing. So I could not have
Thanks.
done it without you. Yeah.
Well, I very much appreciate that. Can you talk a little bit about what that application process was like? Of course you had to apply. There were essays involved, right?
Yes, yeah.
Yep.
So was I think I had I think initially I was invited to apply for it.
Okay.
I'm not really sure how many. Yes. Okay. Yes. So I was invited to apply for it. And so for the first round, it was you had to write an essay on what does servant leadership mean to you? And, how do you live your life as a servant leader? So that was like, I think, a 500 word max essay. And so I had to submit that as well as a teacher recommendation, I think. And so I submitted that, and then that was about, I think that was due. Yeah, it was in the fall. I think it was due November or something, maybe.
That sounds right, if I remember
Yeah,
correctly.
I think. And so, and then I found out, I think December, sometime in winter, that I got an email that I was invited to do to the interview round, the next round. And so basically that part, the interview round was a virtual interview. So I wasn't directly talking to anyone. And basically, they had three predetermined questions. And luckily, you did get the questions beforehand so you could think about them. And then you could practice your interview as many times as you wanted on the platform. And the platform was called Standout. And then once you finally wanted to record your real interview, you got one shot. So you just press the record button. And it goes through, and you got 3 minutes for each question for your response. So that was the official process. And then we got the call at the end of March about the results of it. So, and it was, I think, numbers.
They had over 1,000 applied for the scholarship,
Wow,
and
okay.
in the end, we think from her admissions counselor, they picked what,
15 to
12,
20.
something like that, yeah.
15 to 20. And I think there were about 500 in the interview
Oh,
round.
right, and they made it to the second.
Okay, yeah.
Right, they cut it
Yeah.
like half.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, it was very selective.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, again, congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
How did the process feel to you? Was it nerve-wracking? And
Okay.
how did you prepare for the interview and maybe even the essay before that?
Yeah, so the essay part, that I felt was pretty. I was kind of. This one was definitely the most important for me out of any of the scholarships that I applied just because of how big it was. And like, this was my top school as well. But the essay part just kind of felt like I was applying for any other scholarship. I wasn't talking to anyone, stuff like that. So that part was fairly easy. And it was also at the time where I was applying for a lot of other scholarships as well.
So were you able to take like an essay you had already written and basically not start from scratch? You kind of had a foundation that you were building from?
This one, I think I wrote a new one. I might have
Okay.
put certain parts into it, but
Yeah,
because it was
yeah.
specifically servant leadership, I had to focus on that part.
Yeah,
So,
yeah. Always respond to the prompt, right?
yeah, right,
Yeah,
exactly.
yeah.
So, and I think, and the really special part about this scholarship was servant leadership is pretty much exactly how I lead. I don't really take on like the official roles or anything like that. It's more about the involvement and, day-to-day leadership. So I think it was a a lot easier then for me to write my essay because it was so personal. So.
Yeah. Yep. And then for the interview process, now that process is very different than most of the other scholarship interviews that I've been involved in. But you still had to prepare, what
Yes.
was that process like for you?
So it kind of took me back to speech class in sophomore year. So, I had my flashcards, and at first it was just brainstorming based on the questions. Like, I had a whiteboard, so I kind of just wrote all my ideas out. And one of the big things that I did was actually research organizations at SLU that I wanted to be a part of
I love
because
that.
it asked how you would. One of the questions was like, how will you contribute to the SLU community? And again, I think just because the scholarship was so important and I loved SLU so much that I was willing to put in that effort because like I wanted to explore, which organizations I would be a part of, and incorporating those into all my answers, I think definitely had a really big impact on me winning the scholarship as well, just because you're showing that you care about it, And then for preparing for it, I practiced a lot. Practiced with a timer because you like 3 minute limit. And actually, when it came to recording the real interview, I got through the first question, and I had my note cards like right below the camera, so I was still looking at the camera, but just in case I forgot. And so I get the first question done. Okay, all good. And it goes to the second question, and I'm recording, and I'm in the middle of talking, and then the screen starts processing. And I was like,
Oh
and so
no.
I was just like, well, it is what it is, I guess. Because I had planned the timing pretty much perfectly for
Sure,
all
yeah.
the responses. And I was actually recording on my phone on the side so I could watch it back. So I just kind of moved on. I did the third question. And then later, I actually watched it back and I realized it had only been 2 minutes from the time I started the second question to the end when it should have been three. So I was like, oh, this is a revelation. So I emailed them and I was like, hey, like, would it be possible to redo this question? I didn't get the full time, I don't want it to impact me badly. And this was actually probably 5 days or something before it was due.
Oh, when you first did it, yes.
Yes. I emailed
Okay.
them about
All
5 days before it was due. And
right.
I was going to be gone the next three, the last 3 days before it was due at an event. And so I emailed them. I said, hey, would I be able to redo this? They said, if you did, you would have to redo the whole interview and you would have to do it by the deadline, like no exceptions. And I was kind of debating keeping the original because I was really happy with it. But I just decided at the end, I was like, I don't want it to negatively impact me. And so I decided to re-record it like the night before I was going to be gone. And praise God, it went so much better than the first time. Like it was so great. And yeah, so it was a blessing in disguise. But
Well, I think that makes a good point, and it's something that I try to drive home with the students I work with is the real deadline is not your deadline. Your deadline needs to be a few days before, because there's going to be technical glitches sometimes, right?
Yes.
And you ran into that. Thankfully, you were proactive, you reached out, and they were willing to work with you. I will say that that's not maybe even the norm. A lot of
Yeah.
times, especially if you're at deadline day, and this would have been even true for you. They told you this, like it would have been too bad, right? You couldn't have done anything else. So, getting things done before the actual deadline gives you a little bit of, for lack of a better word, a grace period to
Yeah.
work with these glitches. And then also reaching out to whether it's the college or the scholarship organization, when you have a question or you have a glitch, respectfully and humbly asking for questions or assistance, it can never hurt, right?
Yes, for sure. And I thought, if they get my video and then they find out that I had the chance to redo it but decided not to, that doesn't really look good on my part. So, yeah.
One of the other things that you talked about was not just loving the college, but really knowing it, researching these clubs and organizations that you're going to be involved in. And I think that's whether it's, again, a school specific scholarship or any scholarship, the more you can just demonstrate that you have knowledge about the purpose of this scholarship or this organization or this college, and the more you can demonstrate alignment with that organization's mission and values, the more likely you're going to have success with scholarships.
Yeah, for sure. I would say, I mean, of course, I'll never know exactly why
Sure.
Biscuit Hour was chosen, but I feel like the two things that for anyone watching that I would recommend, definitely demonstrate interest. I mean, they want to give the scholarship to someone who's interested in what they're doing and who's going to pursue it. And then also just be yourself, because if the scholarships doesn't not accept you for who you are, but if you're who you are is not a right fit for the scholarship, then the scholarship isn't for you, kind of a thing. So, put your personality into whatever it is. I was laughing at times in the video, making dog jokes. But yes, definitely just be yourself. They don't want someone who's just mumbling at a camera. So, for sure.
That's good. Well, mom and dad, any kind of input from you? What was this process like for the two of you? And I have to imagine you're obviously thrilled that she earned this huge scholarship, but any maybe advice for the parents who are looking where you were a year ago and or a couple years ago?
Start
It drove you nuts,
sooner.
but start sooner. Yeah, I like
And
that.
use Dave.
Oh, well, thanks.
I mean, for me, I am a type A personality, and she's such a hard worker and she's so deserving of so many things, but she has a very full plate. And there were you hear other parents talk about how, well, your child needs to be doing that. Well, she is doing that, but she also needs help kind of, she has, ADHD. She needs help, organizing and kind of just setting, deadlines when she has 1,000 things on her plate. And so it was definitely a team effort. And I think, like she had said earlier, that, we all really thought, I think in our head, it was just the community foundation ones were the ones we were thinking about, which is, this time of year. And then following the Facebook groups and seeing, other parents talking, and then you start feeling that pressure and, oh gosh, did we miss the, miss the boat on this? What are we doing? And so then just kind of diving a little bit deeper and then speaking to you and kind of just putting all the pieces together, we realized we better get on this, ASAP. And, we now have it noted to also, do it a lot sooner with our other one when the time comes. But I think it really was, it's a very overwhelming process.
It is.
It's probably the most stressful and most overwhelming thing we have ever been through from like a school standpoint. I think it's also, we just really wanted her to be where she, where we know she was meant to be, but we couldn't, financially support all of it. So it was just, we had that motivation for us to, we kept telling her, you have to do it. You have, and if you don't receive anything at the end, you at least know you tried.
Yeah,
And
and if I didn't, then it would have meant that I would be going to a local college that was a lot cheaper, so.
It's so funny that you said that if things didn't work out, at least you tried. I think literally every interview I've done with students and their parents, but they all have said that. It's like maybe in a sense somebody hearing this might think, well, yeah, that's easy for you to say because you did win the scholarship, but there's lots of things that we do in life where we don't have success and you rarely look back regretting that you at least tried and did your best, right?
I mean, she's applied for, oh gosh, I'd probably say about, would you say 10 already that you have not received, or you did not win?
The ones I've been notified about, yeah, it's been about 10 probably.
Yeah.
So, and there's quite a few more that she
Probably
obviously
like
has applied for,
20,
but
25 more
yeah.
than I suppose.
But it was, I mean, there's a no, there's a no, there's a no, but you can't give up.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
yep.
you can't, like they say, you should always have hope, but you can't ever, expect anything. So it's always just like staying humble and trusting that things will work out the way that they're supposed to. So I had no expectation whatsoever of winning this. There was a day they had a presidential scholar visit day after the interview round. So we didn't know who had been selected yet. So you went to SLU's campus and everything, and I'm looking around and I'm seeing all these people, and there were way more people than I expected. And I was just like, okay, like I didn't get it, it's not for me. Like I'm sure there's someone else out there who deserved it more than me. So yeah, it was surreal when we got the call.
We think all along we thought she probably had a pretty good chance at it because, for one, she was focused on, exactly what major she was hoping to do. And they also have this MICA program, which is a service program, really,
Service
right?
based, yeah.
It's a service program that she wanted to be in that program. And it's she wanted to go to a Catholic university, and this one's a Jesuit school. And so that was right up, her alley as well. So we think it was kind of that small list of focused things that may have set her apart from, I'm undecided. I want, just kind of, I want to go to your school, but and so she had been already been told she had a pretty good merit scholarship. So it was a pretty good chance she would go there, but this was, just a huge add-on, guarantee
Above
that she'd
above
go,
and
of
beyond.
course.
And
That's
I'll just
awesome.
add in there really quick too. And my husband touched on it earlier, is I think a big part of it, and Tegan touched on it too, was it's really about the intentionality there and being genuine. We talked about, if you applied it, if you had been a candidate for another school that you applied to, like she said, she might not have been a good fit for that school. And I think it was just they truly saw, or that's what we think, they just truly saw how well she'd fit, and that her intentions and her genuineness were all there. And it was it wasn't anything that was fake. It wasn't anything that was scripted. It was just true, genuine words coming from her heart and her mind and her, where she wanted to be. So I think that was a big part of it. It's just they saw that. And we really also were constantly in communication with the admissions counselor. And again, we don't know, but we think too, that makes a difference. If they see that you want to go there and, you're constantly hounding them with 3,000 questions.
That is a great point though, and I think a lot of people feel like they may be bothering, the admissions counselor or the financial aid office or, the scholarship provider, but as long as you're asking, real heartfelt questions that you really need an answer to, and maybe did a little bit of due diligence before, that this is not something you could have just found easily on the website. Most of these folks, that's what they're there for. They're there to answer questions and kind of guide you through the process. So, it goes back to what you originally said, being intentional about things. That's really good advice. Good. Well, before I let you go, is there any other, speaking of advice you would want to give either to the students who are listening, parents who are listening, just anybody, as they're preparing for college, preparing for scholarships, what's something that you would recommend that they do?
Yeah, so for the students, let me just affirm that this has been the most stressful, draining process ever. I didn't expect it at all. But just like stay committed to it. Just keep putting yourself and your best effort in, and it will pay off at the end of the day. And yeah, just stay true to yourself and make sure you're going off of your values and what you want to pursue. So. Yes,
Yeah.
just try, like keep going, push through. It'll be
Yep.
worth it.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. And then from the parents' perspective, any final thoughts from you?
Keep a tracker. That's a big
Mm,
part,
yeah. Yep.
to try to stay organized. And like you had said, Dave, submitting it before the
Yep,
deadlines.
yeah.
Like you still probably need a little work with that one, but
Yeah.
thanks to you helped her kind of finish them out at the very end, being so responsive. But
Yes.
also, I think too, really reading ahead on some of those scholarships to know what the requirements are. It's great if you know the deadline, but then you go back and you look and you see, oh geez, they need a letter of recommendation,
Yeah.
or this actually needs to be surprisingly mailed in still,
Yeah.
not emailed, not submitted online. So does it need to be postmarked by that date? So just really doing that research ahead of time to know, to prepare. So even if you are inching up at the last minute, you're going to submit that application and go, oops, it's not complete. So,
Yeah.
and
Yep.
follow the directions. Like, make sure you read
Yes.
every
Yes.
part to make sure you're not going to be automatically disqualified.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I talk to scholarship providers very regularly, and they all tell me they reject more applications than they accept just because the students don't follow directions. I had one tell me it was 90% of the applications they got, they just threw out because something wasn't right.
My
So,
goodness.
yeah. Oh.
Oh,
Oh,
wow. Yeah.
good. Well, all fantastic advice. I love hearing that. Again, Tegan and family, congratulations on your success with the scholarships. Would love for you to check in with me periodically. And if you have
Yes.
questions about speech pathology, I can run them by my wife for you.
Oh, that'd be great.
And again, congratulations. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Very much appreciated.
Yes, thank you
Yep.
so much
Thanks,
for everything
Dave.
you've done. Like,
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. It's been great working with you guys.
been
Yes.
such a blessing for you to just guide
Yes.
her and kind of take some of that pressure off us too, to be reviewing all the essays, because what they're looking for, and the whole hook, kind of that piece. So I mean, we're so thankful that we've had you this whole time. So thanks for
Yes. Thank
everything.
you.
Thanks. I appreciate that. All right. Well, thanks again.
All right.
Okay,
Okay. Take
thanks. Thanks,
care.
Dave.